get there to 2 Timothy. I know your bulletin says 1 Timothy, but that was my boo-boo. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. So get out your Bibles, get out your phones, however you do Bibles. And we are a Bible teaching church, and we love the Bible. Amen? If you haven't gotten that by now, then I'll keep telling you, you need the Bible. Very important. Yeah. How important that is. If you're in verse 1 and you want to follow along, or it'll be up on the screen. You then, Paul is talking to Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. There are a lot of things in these scriptures right here. There's strength, there's grace, there's discipling, being like Christ, how to learn to live right, how to be right, how to live in this world. Paul is encouraging Timothy. He's encouraging him to be all that he can be, right? The army slogan, be all that you can be, right? How are you doing? I'm just asking, how are you doing today? Josephina, how are you doing? Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Joni, you're an overcomer, right? I'm just asking. You know, it's been like 2 weeks, so I'm trying to get caught up here all at once, right? Danny, how are you doing? He's tired because he worked last night, right? And he got work tonight. Oh, my goodness. Guy is loaded with money. Hallelujah. Tammy, how are you doing? Okay. Larry?
Okay.
Shirley, you doing okay back there?
Yes.
Praise God! Roger? Doris?
Well, I'm glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
Last few days have been a struggle for me, but today's good.
Amen. He calls me last night. You know what? I just knew you'd be better today. I know when I prayed with you last night when you called and we prayed, I just knew you'd be better. Hallelujah. Mike?
Yeah.
Pappy?
Happy to be in church.
Hallelujah. Are you doing okay? Look at that little girl. Look how cute she is. She's come on, Samuel's girlfriend. She's almost got Samuel beaten on the cuteness factor here. Come on. Come on. There's like cuteness all over the place.
Remember, Sam's gonna take your job.
I know, but I got a few years yet. I got invited over to Willem Pass last night for supper, and this was sitting there. How do you like this? Maybe you've read it, but. You'll have to read it on your own because, you know, I'm not sure I can hold it and read it. But I thought it was pretty cool, right?
If you want, I'll turn it around so you can read it.
You can hold it.
Yes, sir.
Whoa! Oh, no, she's trying to ruin it. Pastor Amy, we would like to thank you good and plenty for everything. It's a whopper of a good day for you. And we're so glad to be here to support you. You are all sweethearts for everything you do. You are always there to pick up the pieces, not Reese's, and answer our whatchamacallit. Sometimes we act like airheads or nerds, and you probably think we're from the Milky Way, but you've made a mounds of difference in our lives. Thank you for getting us in doublement condition for heaven. And thanks for making us smarties. You deserve $100,000 every payday. You will always be in our hearts. What is that? Now and then. Love you, all the goobers. I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah, Will and Pat, a clap. That's pretty awesome, huh? And then all you guys who signed cards and the kids who signed cards, thank you. We loved it. Will and Pat. Probably Pat. Will's not that, yeah. Will's not that creative. Just kidding. I heard that you've had some really good services the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm finishing up on discipleship. What is the goal of discipleship? And I want to share something Lisa shared on Facebook. She said, "Good morning, Facebook friends and family. I would like to share a little something with you, something that I shared at church yesterday morning," which would have been last week. "I was feeling a bit down, depressed, sad, and I felt sorry for myself. I was upset for something that I'd been praying for and didn't get. So in other words, I was upset with God. I was so upset, I really let it get to me and bring me down. I know God took me out of where I used to be in this dark world with my drinking and drugging. I'm so thankful to Him for saving my life and introducing me to a whole new way of living. I know I was wrong in the way that I approached the situation, and I felt like my life didn't matter to me or to anyone else, and I was asking God what my purpose here on earth was. Well, for those of you who know me, I mean really know me, I teach Sunday school for our children's ministry at Life Point Church, which has changed my life tremendously and given me real purpose of life. Well, to get back to my story, I went to church yesterday morning and a very dear friend of mine, Patience Park, said she had something for me, and she gave me this lantern that says, 'Thank you for being a light in a child's life.' At that moment, I knew the purpose of my life, why I'm here, and it is to help teach not only my grandchildren about God, but to teach other kids about Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I feel so blessed and thankful that I have you in my life and to share you with my grandchildren and other kids and other people. I couldn't ask for anything better in my life." How amazing is that? I heard, you know, I was kind of shocked when I found out that Pastor Richard didn't show up last week. And I was thoroughly amazed how my son stepped up. what God did in the service. You know, sometimes you don't need a message, you just need to talk and tell each other about, you know, what's going on in your life, and maybe you need prayer or, you know, the great things that God is doing in your life. You know, I had specifically asked Pastor Richard to come. And somehow he took it that I didn't need him, and I don't know how that happened. I was pretty clear. And he goes to me, "You know what? You probably won't have me come speak again." And I said, "No, I'm not gonna hold grudges. But here's what I will do. I not only will call you, I'll send you a text and an email." Amen. Amen. For us just to have an amazing time. Yeah. We're just the family of God here, aren't we? It's just like those who helped on Friday night on our serve day. It's just our family, the whole bunch of other people there doing something that people who will eventually get fed will never know that we touched those pears and apples, right? But God knows. Hallelujah. I'm only proficient in 4, so you get the same 4.
Now, I want to tell you about that. I know who gets it afterwards because I help out Saturday
at the food bank.
And
yeah.
I see all the many families in desperate need.
Who need it.
And I see it.
And we're there to help.
Thank you.
And we had Riley and Keely Shea there as well. And It was awesome to have the young kids there along with us, to have them, you know, understand what it is to help others, for us to understand, right? You know, I'm so glad that God is moving in our church. It's amazing to see the power and presence of His Holy Spirit move in different ways. Sometimes we get how God's supposed to move pigeonholed, right? Has to look like this, it has to be like this, or it isn't a move of God. But God will move in His presence and His Holy Spirit in His way and not in our way. And all we want is His presence and His Holy Spirit here. And in His time, as we pray and we worship and we give Him glory and honor and praise, you know, or us being disciples, discipling others, as we're empowered in the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us build up other people in Jesus Christ. You know, when I was, I stayed in the hospital for 17 days, right, with Zachary. So Amy, for a few days Amy was there with me, but because when he was, Zach was really sick, right? He was, we were like, God, you said, you know, you're going to, this is for your glory, and you're going to take him through this. And it, you know, didn't look like it. Satan's coming in going like, hey, I'm going to take him, you know. And so we prayed. And every morning and every night I would do a devotional with him, whether he was awake or not, right? And one morning I was doing a devotional, and the nurse's name, her name was Madeline. And I went, Amy has the Jesus Call, newest Jesus Calling book, and I was going through that daily devotional with him. And so I can't remember what the devotion was that day, but I went through the devotion, and I started to pray, and I just began to pray, and the Holy Spirit just led me to pray this prayer. And I knew she was sitting there. I didn't care, right? She was sitting at the computer, charting and stuff, because at that point, Zach, when she was there, he was sick, and she was his. He got one nurse. That was her. That was her job to take care of him in ICU. And she was sitting there, and I prayed this prayer, and I can't tell you, I can't even remember what I prayed. But at the end, I simply went, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And I didn't even get amen out. And she goes, "Amen!" And I went, "Amen." And Zach was, and I went like, you know what? We don't even know who we're discipling sometimes. We don't even know who's around us sometimes. That some people call it witnessing. Others, you know, I'm going to call it discipling. I don't care, you know, how you term it. But at every level, there's a form of discipling that is going on. When we have that in our mind that we're going to share and tell others about Jesus Christ, whatever level it is that we are affecting people for Jesus, right? We are affecting people. They look at us and they watch us, and you know, those who aren't saved, you know what they're doing when they know you're a Christian? They're picking you apart, trying to see where you're going to fail. Yep. Those hypocrites. Yep, we're all hypocrites. Them included, right? It's just who we are. Whether we're perfect or not. But Paul is telling Timothy in this discipleship process, you know what he's saying? He's saying, do your best. Right? And we can do our best. Will we fail sometimes? Yes. But what's our goal? Our goal is to do our best for Jesus Christ, right? Our goal is to do what He's asked us to do. And we all have to have a goal. We all have to aim for something in our life. And our church has to aim for something. We We have to aim to help people and disciple people and do things. And whether that's through helping Second Harvest on a serve night or however it is, we need to be affecting people for Jesus. I know some of you are Seahawks fans and some of you aren't, but last year, you know, every time Sebastian Janikowski, who's the field goal kicker, would kick the ball, all I would say is just aim it straight, buddy, you know? Get it over the goalpost. We have to aim for something, because if I ask you the question, what is the goal of a disciple? I'm asking you the question, what is the goal of a disciple?
To make more disciples.
What's the goal of a disciple?
Spread the message.
Anybody?
Be like Jesus.
What else? What's the goal of a disciple? Roger.
To learn from the master.
That's right, to copy. To love everybody you can. Right? To believe and to say, listen, I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. Right? I live here, but I don't have to be like it. Right? And that's truly the battle going on in our country today. Think about it. The battle going on in our country today is this we know what is right, but we don't want to do what is right.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't think that we have to do what is right. And we need to do what is right. Right? The goal of a disciple is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love one another, right? Because we've looked at what the cost of and the heart of a disciple is, but what is the goal? Look at 2 Timothy 2, chapter 1 and 2, or verses 1 and 2. Timothy, Paul looks at Timothy as his son, right? He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You know where Paul was at this time when he wrote to Timothy? He was in jail. He was in a jail cell, right? He knew that he would soon be executed and that Timothy was really the last person he could entrust everything that he had learned to, and he was filling Timothy up with all of this stuff and saying, you can do this. You can do this. And Paul told Timothy, he says, listen, everything you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, now you have to be able to entrust others to do. You have to be able to entrust others. You have to be able to rely on others and say, listen, here we are. You need to help them along this path of being a disciple. Men, women, children, right? Wherever we are. Write this down if you want. The goal of a disciple is to make disciples who make other disciples, who will make more disciples, who will make more disciples, who will make more disciples, who will make, right? Come on. We could make that into a song, right? It's our job is to make more disciples. And if you think about the discipling process is why you are here today. Because somebody discipled you. Somebody came along and said you were worthy. No, they just came along because they loved Jesus and you were there and maybe you caught on to the very fact that you needed that spiritual side in your life. That you needed Jesus Christ. And you began to listen, and then the discipling process came along, and all of a sudden you decided to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Right? and you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, and then you wanted to learn. When after I accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, I landed at Gethsemane Covenant Church in Hermantown, Minnesota, right? It was like 10 miles from where I lived, way up out towards the country, right? I was living in downtown Duluth at the time and working down there. I was a construction laborer. How in the world, when there's a whole bunch of churches, right, that I ended up out there? Don't know. Other than I know that the guy who started to disciple me, Tom, I knew the reason after a while I was there is because God had planted him in my life for a reason. Right? To bring me to that place. Doug, who discipled you?
Pastors.
Okay. You started coming, Pastor Richard?
No, back in...
Oh, back in Olympia, back. Sorry, way back when, that's yeah. Right, when you were young, like me.
When I was moldable.
When you were moldable. And that's a great answer, right? When I was more moldable. God, I'm not sure I want to sing this song this morning, Holiness, right? Mold me, transform me, conform me. I'm too old for that. We shouldn't be.
Right.
Roger, who?
Can we assume it was done after the first few years after I became a Christian?
Yeah, whenever you were...
Don't have to worry about it anymore?
No, you... The discipling process should never end, should it?
No. It's ongoing.
Who led you to Jesus?
Mother.
Your mother? Yeah.
Since we were babies.
Yeah. Doris, who led you to Jesus?
My parents. When I was 8, I went to the Quincy Brothers meeting, and that's when I understood you can't lose just use your salvation all the time.
No. How many of you gave your heart to Jesus like 10 times before you realized you didn't have to give your heart to Jesus every week? or after every good service, right? You go like, oh, I gotta give my heart to Jesus again. How about you? Who? Pam?
Pastor James, and he was my first pastor, and he was my pastor for 100 years.
He must be old. That's old, because I'm 60. I'm kidding. Go on.
He took me, you know, like, and I tell people, you know, even when I was out in the world doing things I shouldn't do, God picked me up out of gutter. And took me where I need to be.
That's right, amen.
And I got baptized before I was a teenager, like 8 or 9.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Because of what, Julie? Josephine?
Well, my mom and my sister, they became Christians before a while back, and they would talk to me about God. But you know how sometimes our head's so stubborn? But at this time, I was really sick. I had surgery, and I was about to lose my arm. Okay. And one day, they had healing at his church. And Ryan...
supposed to sometimes when it's numb or something.
I go, no, but my hand, you know, I couldn't feel no more. And then she goes, oh, God did you.
Yes, hallelujah. Yeah. Did you know that before?
No.
Uh-uh. God is doing miracles in our life all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. He's doing things, and God just, give me one moment, because God brought this to my mind, because it's an amazing, whoops, wrong way. A missionary, her name is Doris Rohde, and she, I posted this on Facebook. This is amazing. I want you to listen to this. It really, to me, it was a prophetic word, because she's been praying for Zachary, right? And Zachary, you know, was very bad off, and people around the world, missionaries around the world, have been praying, and people here in the country, you know, in other states, and you guys and everybody. And she said this, she said, Daryl, I'm thinking today about the body of Christ and how much each member contributes to the whole. What would have been if the whole body had not risen up to care for the one part? She says, Zach, you are a picture of what happens in the body when it's working as it should. Let this be a lesson to us all. God says, ask. We did, and in his faithfulness to his word, he did more than we even asked or thought. Because although he's healing Zach, he's building up the rest of the body of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
To God be all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Is that amazing or what? And I couldn't have said it better. And I, you know, it was like, see, there's people here in this room that need prayer on a daily basis. We are the body of Christ. Discipling comes in many different forms, right? Praying is one. Being a part in people's life and loving on them. Being a part of Christian service, right? Because if I ask you the question, who are you discipling? Right, I'm going to... So Doug... Your job at the end of service is to remind me to say, who are you discipling? Because that's the question at the end of service, right? Pastor, did you ask your question yet? Who are you discipling? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that, right? I want you to think about who you are discipling. Because it's important. It is a huge question. Because discipling comes through Christian service and how we live and what we do, because that is what the church is all about. We're the church. We looked at prayer. What is our mission this year, right? We have to have vision, mission. But I believe as a church, we have a mission. We looked at prayer. We're going to end discipleship. And then we're going to move on to church health and individual health and what that looks like. Who are you discipling? Because each and every one of you, if we are centered on discipleship and what it is, that means like Lisa, she goes like, oh, I'm a teacher. I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach kids, and I'm going to do that. I really believe that's my purpose in life. Or maybe it's simply to help out in nursery or to serve as a greeter. All of you should be in belong group. Being discipled. Maybe it's helping out vacuuming or changing light bulbs or being out in the community doing Second Harvest Serve Day or helping at the food bank or maybe it's your next door neighbor who needs help that you're there helping. And you're going, you know, I look at Joni and you go like, who can she help? She helps everybody. Come on. This doesn't stop her. My wife, bless her heart. You know, she has 4 herniated discs in her back because of the psoriatic arthritis. And yet, what is she doing? She's discipling Jesus to other people, no matter what is going on in her life. And I'm not saying that, you know, people have different pain levels and all that. I'm just saying do the best you can. I'm not saying you to be human, superhuman, or Superman or Superwoman. I'm just saying do your best that you can do by affecting people for Jesus. Because none of us are too young or too old, right? If you have kids, what is your mission field? If you have grandkids, kids, what is your mission field? If you have neighbors, where's your mission field? We have like 5 neighbors now. You know, I'm giving Zach, you know, sometimes you got to use what you got to use, right? But, you know, kind of using Zachary, but being able to talk to people and they have concern over stuff like that and to be able to witness to them and tell them how God is doing, right? See, when I was a young man, I didn't even know that I was discipling. I didn't even know that I was being discipled. My Uncle George, I told you about my Uncle George, every year he'd pay for me to go to Bible camp. And my parents wouldn't do it. I loved Bible camp. What was he doing? He was discipling me. He would pick me up and take me to church when, you know, now and then when my parents would allow it. And but I would go to Bible camp and I would love it. I'd just go have fun. And you know what? Because it was so much fun, I'd put up with sitting in church. Right? So I began to invite my friends to come to Bible camp, right? I didn't even realize that, not being even saved as a young man, that I was discipling others, because you know what happened? One of those young men became a pastor. He got saved at that Bible camp. Wasn't until years later, you know, he pastors back in the Midwest. I didn't even know for years later that he had come to know Jesus Christ. We are, listen, every day you have the opportunity to influence someone for Jesus. You just have to seize upon the moments when that can happen, because the question is not, will you have an influence? The question is, will you influence them for Jesus? And that's the question we all have to ask ourselves, right? Will I influence somebody for Jesus Christ? Last week before I left, I think it was on Monday, I had the opportunity to witness to another nurse. Her name was Kelly. And, you know, you talk to the nurses because they're the only nurse, right? They're taking care of one patient, and that's Zachary. So they're in the room all the time. And she asked me what I did, and I told her I was a pastor. And she kind of perked up a little bit, so she started to ask me questions, right? You know, what is it like to be a pastor? She even asked the question, why did you accept Christ, right? So I knew that the Holy Spirit was working because the spiritual side of her was waking up. Yes, yes. And I had to be there to influence that little bit of time, because there was only one day she had Zachary. We didn't have the same nurse, just... Amen.
I mean, it's like I picture Seth, and not here. It's like I can see him everywhere.
Amen.
Everywhere, you know, talking about God and the amazing things that he has done in his life and the people that is gonna, he's going to get to be around and everything.
Amen. And to bring in. Right? When people ask you questions, it's your opportunity to influence them right then and there. Right? To witness and get and tell them everything that you know, I think that sometimes I really believe she was trying to figure out if I was radical or not, right? Because I did devotional and prayed and all that kind of stuff. And you can call that witnessing, I'm gonna call it discipling. But she was curious, and I wasn't going to not take the opportunity to tell her why I accepted Jesus Christ. You see, Pastor Richard shared a message on God's unending love and grace. Discipling is just sharing God's unending love and grace. You hear me? Come on. That's all it is. Saying, I want to challenge you to do what Paul asked Timothy to do, to choose someone to be a disciple, right? Ask God who that person is. That's why I'm here. That's why I started early. Who are you discipling? That's why I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you three quick points, because I know it's. I have spoken long today. That's okay. Hallelujah. Who are you discipling? Because you have to make the choice to invest yourself in people. That's what discipling is all about. Witnessing is all about. Praying for people is all about. It's an investment in people.
Absolutely. I've seen Lexus go from not even wanting to go to church. Oh my God, is grandma coming to get me to? Where's grandma?
See, investing in people, that's the goal of a disciple, right? Dwight L. Moody said, it is better to train 10 people than to do the work of 10 people, but it is harder. Come on, you understand that statement? It is better to train 10 people than to do the work of 10 people, but it's harder. So he's saying, sometimes it's easier to do the work of 10 people than it is to train 10 people. But you're worth it. People around you in your life are worth it. So what does it take to reach the goal, right? Paul gave us three examples. Number one, dedication of a soldier, right? Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ, Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please this commanding officer. What's the goal of a soldier? They don't get involved in civilian stuff. Paul is saying, don't be involved in the world. That's what he's saying. Don't be involved in the world. Right? Be involved in the only thing that's important. That is aiming to please your commanding officer. And who's our commanding officer? Jesus Christ is our commanding officer, right? Jesus said this, let him who loves his God with his heart and not with his lips only. Jesus said, follow me, right? Because something many have a problem with is following Jesus. For you know, before I went into the ministry, I struggled sometimes, you know, getting that into my heart and into mind to follow Jesus. And it's a spiritual battle in each and every one of us every day. Are we going to follow Jesus or are we not? Are we going to follow Jesus or are we not? Am I just going to live in the world today or am I going to follow Jesus today? And it's a question that I think every morning we all have to get up and we have to say, listen, today I'm following Jesus. Yeah. We have to get up every morning and do that. Secondly, Paul talked about the discipline of an athlete. In verse 5, Paul said, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Do you know that Olympic athletes train for 4 years before the next one comes up.
And they train hard.
And they train and they train. Sometimes it takes over 1,000 hours just to maybe move up one notch in the competitive, one little percentage point in the percentage, just to come close to winning the gold, right? Because that's all they're, that's the goal. It takes discipline. It takes us to say, okay, God's word is important in my life, and I need that, because as a disciple, you have a race marked out for you by Jesus Christ. Paul is training Timothy in what it takes to win the race, right? During the week, when you go to Tuesday group, right? Roger's teaching right now, but Doug usually teaches. And what are you doing? You're training people to what? To run the race. When you come to the Friday night, what am I doing with the Friday? I'm teaching our group to run the race for Jesus Christ. To not give up. To run that race. And to run that race well. To win the prize of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul ended his letter to Timothy and he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Paul knew he was going to die, right? He said, I've done it. I've done what God has asked me to do. Thirdly, here's the last one. Hardworking farmer, the diligence of a farmer. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. During my days at North Central University, I sang with an Iowa farm boy named Dan. Yes, and I did do some singing. Not a lot. I had to work 40 hours a week when I was in college, so I only did local stuff when choir went out and stuff. But I got to know Dan. His dad, he was a farm boy, and his dad had a large farm, and the Pioneer Seed Corn Company paid him to produce various strains of seed corn for the company. And Dan told me that for the typical farmer, at least one out of every 7 years would be a financial washout for the farm, and that farmers had to plan for regular catastrophes. And since farmers only get one paycheck per year at harvest time, crop failure meant no paycheck for at least 2 years. So his dad had to be a good farmer to be able to withstand 2 years before he got paid again. Can you imagine not getting paid for 2 years? No. But he said his dad was patient, his dad was persistent, and he was just plain old worked hard. He just worked hard. In the same way, a disciple who wishes to disciple others needs to be diligent. We need to have diligence in our life, because the harvest won't come in a day or even a month. Sometimes when you disciple people, it might take years. It took till my parents were 60 years old before they accepted Jesus Christ. It took years for family members on Amy's side, right, to accept Jesus Christ. Amy's sister Peggy, her husband, was an atheist, and it took 25 years before he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But see, when we disciple people, it isn't up to us if they're going to come to know Jesus. It's up to them and God, right, to come to that place. And sometimes it can get discouraging when you're witnessing to people or discipling people or however you want to call it. But here's what I'm asking you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to keep going. Disciple your neighbors, right? Let them know that God loves them. Yes. Who are you discipling? Yes, because I'm done. You knew I was coming to the end, right? Or he was telling me you're done. One of the two. Who are you discipling? Who are you discipling?
Children's church.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's discipling me.
Uh-huh. Right.
Each other accountable.
Right.
However you want to look at it.
Right.
Our boys, and mm-hmm. of course, people at work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you talk to them, only so much you could say. You know they're seeing you when they sit in a meeting and they look at you and they make a general statement, but they're looking right at you. I have no need for church.
Right.
Or
have no need for God, right? Have no need for God. I have everything I need. Well, someday you will need God. And it may be too late, right? And here I thought you were sleeping, Shirley. Hallelujah. We love you, Shirley. Who else? Who are you discipling?
Community. Discipling my son.
Yep.
Periodically, we just sit and talk. Mm-hmm. And things come up, and, you know, God is usually comes to the forefront. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just awesome to see.
Amen.
And also my sister, trying to squeeze in little nuggets here and there with my sister and him family.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Amen.
Community.
Friends, neighbors.
Amen. Who else?
Co-workers.
My grandchildren, my neighbors, everybody I come in contact with, they call me the Jesus baby.
There you go. That's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
I'd be called the Jesus guy, right? The Jesus lady.
Oh, you know Pam, no? Is she the one that drinks coffee? Oh, yeah, that's the Jesus lady.
That's a good thing, right? Anybody else?
Yeah, my neighborhood, because I'm walking the dog. And they're all saying, oh, yeah, that's the one who walks the dog. And why is she always smiling? And so I can talk with them about Jesus Christ and how long the has been, and only the Lord is truly.
Amen. Julie? How cool is that? Anybody else? Josephine.
I show my grandkids, my sons, my daughter. I have a little bit, you know, between my husband and, you know, but also, I like going like, to stores
yeah.
and talk. I mean, when I don't go, listen, if I don't go for a few days, the girls are already missing.
Thank you.
Oh, we haven't seen you. You're the one.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
My kids, my brother, my sister, anybody that's around me.
Amen. Amen.
My siblings.
I'm going to be gone, speaking of that, I'm going to be gone from May 8th to 22nd. I'm going to go spend some time with my mom and do the Arizona. And, yeah, and her pastor.
Amen.
Who told you I was coming? He goes, I don't know, but I know you're coming.
Well, you'll have to share your testimony here sometime. See, servant, you know what? A lot of churches, you come in, you do all these rote things, you know, you have to do certain steps and everything has to be just right. But the more I realize what church is, it's about us, right? We're the family. It doesn't matter if we sing first or last, or you know, or you sing first and last, or however it is, right? Because you know what we're here for? We're here to help support and encourage one another, and help one another, and to hear the story. I'd never heard that she was going to lose her arm before, right?
And last night I went And I was talking, and they all knew what I was saying because they have, like, you know, a lot of, yeah. So like, we were, people were getting up and getting in line to eat, and they said, no, we're going by table. By tables, you know, table goes by, and then they tell you which one is next.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting right next by the food, so we thought we were going to be first. We were last.
You were the last one. Right, that's right. Yeah. Hey, Tammy, we're supposed to pray for you. Is that okay? Yes. Will you come on up here?
So I was discipling to the everybody that we were just three. The table was long. We were just three. And my son-in-law kept bringing more people that just were sitting by themselves, that they didn't know what was sitting there. And pretty soon our table was full.
Amen. Will you go get Keely Shea? And poor Lisa's in London. Oh, poor baby. Can you stand? Those of you who don't know, did they find out what's going on with you yet?
Not fully.
Can you just share a little bit?
Just pray for me.
Okay.
Just pray for me. I'm more worried about Keely.
Something up here isn't right.
I'm not the only one.
And that, come on, you guys. All of you, just come on up and lay hands on. Keely Shea's got something on her spine. That there's a hole there, correct?
Well, it's basically where her brain is not sitting in this hole the way it should be.
Right here.
There's a hole at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And basically her spinal cord and stuff is like pushing pressure on her brain. And so they're sending her to Children's Hospital in Seattle to see a neurosurgeon up there that deals with this. And there's five types. She has type one, which I guess if you're going to have a type, it might as well be one, because supposedly, like, from one to five, the symptoms can be worse, I guess. So, you know, they said it's no less serious being type one. But she's supposed to just take it easy and certain things, you know, activity and stuff like that, and school, and not supposed to be doing too much.
Is she in pain?
Yes. And she gets tired easy. She's not feeling well. She has some pain in her head. And just the other day, first time ever, she started telling me that she was having really severe throbbing in the back of her neck, in her head. So it may end up in surgery. They don't know. We have to go see this doctor. And he may want to do further tests deeper into her spinal cord and checking for spinal fluid and, you know, stuff like that.
Have they given her anything to help control the pain?
Not right now. There's nothing really. Yeah.
And I wasn't making fun of Tammy, but she's having scans of her brain to find out why what's going on is going on. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this says it can be hereditary, what she has, but he doesn't think that I have that.
Pappy, you can sit down right there. We know you're praying. If you have to sit, sit. Okay. So I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus Christ. Anoint you. And together we're going to ask Father God. Here we are today as the body of Christ. And I lift up two of my family to you. And I just ask that Father God, in this process of finding out what's going on with Tammy, and in this process now of trying to figure out how we are going to correct what's going on in Keely Shea, that Father God, we include you in this process. We pray, Father God, as your word says, James said, to have the elders come forward. And here we are, we have the elders here, and we're praying for you, for them. And we just ask that, Father God, today you would bring your hand in this, your healing touch in this, that, Father God, the body of Christ is surrounding them, and that, Father God, today we agree together in faith for them and on their behalf and our faith in you, that, Father God, you will help them and increase their faith as they trust in you in this process. So, Father God, I ask for healing and health in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Find somebody, give them a hug on the way out, and tell them you're glad they're here today. God bless. We love you all. And you guys bring somebody next week. Easter is coming. Find somebody to bring on Easter morning if you can, all right? God bless you. We love you all.